Good to have you this morning. Do you have your Bibles? Let's open them up to Revelation chapter 13. And today we're going to be finishing chapter 13, looking at verses 11 through 18. I want to read these verses together again to kind of lay the foundation. And then as we normally do, we will go back and we're going to jump into it and tear it open. So notice there in verse 11 of chapter 13, "And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Today, we come to the false prophet. Now, last week, if you've been with us in Revelation, we finished looking at what we called the second person of the unholy Trinity in the Antichrist. And this week, we're going to be looking at the third person of the unholy Trinity, the false prophet. Now, remember I said Satan is an imitator. And even as God has a holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Satan has an unholy Trinity, himself in place of the Father, the Antichrist as the Savior or Messiah, the Son. And then today, the one we're going to focus on, the third person of the unholy Trinity, the false prophet, who will be turning the eyes of the world toward this Antichrist. See, the Bible says when this world leader comes on the scene, the world's going to see this guy, and they're going to believe in him, but there's going to be another religious spiritual leader that's going to rise up and say, man, this is the one to look to. He's the one that has all the answers for the world politically, but he's also the one that will be our savior, a savior of the world, to lead us all into this new utopia and rescue us. And so that's what this guy is all about. Now, there have been a lot of false prophets to arise over the years. You guys are familiar with that. We've seen in our lifetime David Koresh, who had a small group of people believe in him, as unbelievable as that may sound. We've had others that people believed in. We've got this guy right now who's predicting when the rapture is, Harold Camping, and he's been predicting the rapture was back, what, in May? And now he says again, he was wrong, he miscalculated, he said it'll be this Friday. So no need to worry, no need to worry. It's not going to be. As a matter of fact, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, so the one day you're the safest is Friday. So anyway, because he's saying he's coming back, that means he won't. But the bottom line is, there's going to be a lot of these kind of guys coming along that are going to be deceptive. We've seen them throughout history. Now, here's what's different about the guy we're looking at today. We've got all these false prophets who get a small following to go after them, whether it's Jim Jones or you go down the list of whoever, and they end up destroying them in some way or another, either spiritually or sometimes actually physically. This guy is going to be the greatest of all the false prophets. This guy is going to be so believable and so charismatic and so powerful, just like the Antichrist, that the world is going to believe that this guy is a special prophet sent from God, a special spiritual leader sent from God, who is going to give that credit to the Antichrist, and they're both going to give credit to each other and feed off of each other as Satan works through them to bring this worldwide deception and this worldwide destruction. So understand, this is not going to be on some small level like a David Koresh or whatever. This is going to be a man that God gives a lot of power to. Remember we said that Satan is going to be giving power to the Antichrist. And Satan, the Bible says, has limited power under God, limited. He can give some of that power to whomever he likes. He'll be giving some of it to the Antichrist. But the Bible says he'll also be giving some of it to this false world leader, this other false world leader and this false prophet. So much so that we're going to see today that the Bible says this guy's going to be able to call down lightning from heaven. Now guys, think about this for a minute. If somebody shows up on the scene who seems to have all the answers from the world, as we saw last week, the Antichrist, who is going to appear to die and resurrect, although it will be, I believe, a fake death and resurrection, because only God has that power, but the world's going to believe that it was a real death and a real resurrection. And then this guy comes along that's a world spiritual leader, someone that the whole world looks to as someone that really has authority and power, and he calls down lightning from heaven in the sight of men. We can see that happen. Now, you won't be here, but those that missed the rapture can see that happen. Do you think the world's going to believe that? See, I used to wonder, how in the world could people in the world believe a man is God? Well, if he dies and resurrects, if his sidekick is calling down lightning from heaven, and they're doing these amazing things on earth, I mean, what other explanation do you have? It is definitely a supernatural power. But the problem is, the Bible says it's not God's supernatural power, it's demonic supernatural power. Which, by the way, brings up a point. And guys, this is something we better understand in the last days especially, but even in the days we live in. Just because someone has supernatural power and can even seemingly do miracles, does that mean they are legitimate? Good answer. It does not mean they're legitimate. Because the Bible says that Satan has limited demonic power. He can distribute it how he wants to among those that are serving him, and he can deceive those that are looking at that into believing this is the power of God. We should not be deceived. We are the children of light. We're not the children of darkness. All right, Mark, how do I know whether or not it's God's power, or how do I know whether or not it's Satan's power? Right here, the Word of God. This is going to be your plumb line. This is going to be what's going to hold you on target right now in your life and in the last days, depending on how long we are here before the Lord comes back. Now, is he coming back in our lifetime? I don't know that. I can't say that. I personally believe he is, but I'm not the Lord and I don't know. I certainly don't know when that will be, but I know this. He said he's coming at a moment we don't expect. And he also said you'll be able to see all the signs and know what season it is. Isn't it interesting now, as the years go by, the season for Christmas begins sooner. The first Christmas lights went up. My girls were telling me they saw some Christmas lights the other day. And I'm thinking, it used to be, you know, right around Thanksgiving, all the Christmas lights went up, right? And then we joked about the fact that it was before that. Now it's actually happening, you know, before we even get into these last few months, we're starting to see lights go up. What is my point? There is a season that we can recognize. And the Bible says we should be able to recognize, we may not know the exact day, but we should know the season. And so again, don't be swayed by these miracles. Don't be swayed by those who are false, but recognize the season. So we jump in now to this false prophet. Notice verse 11 what it says. It says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth." Now note that. Remember last week, the Antichrist came up out of where? The sea, exactly. This one is coming up out of the earth. So one out of the sea, one out of the earth. We'll get to that in a moment. "And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon." Now, again, this is amazing here, guys. The contrast, number one, I want you to notice between rising out of the sea and rising out of the earth was running through my mind all week. I never paid much attention to it, but it hit me more this week as I began to think of it. I thought, why, God, does one rise out of the sea and why does one rise out of the earth? I don't know that I know the answer to that. But I did find it interesting because one of the things that I've been wrestling with as a prophecy student and as someone who loves to delve into the Word of God in this area, one of my questions has been, how would the Jews ever accept the Islamic Messiah, and how would those in Islam ever accept the Jewish Messiah? You see, some of you may not realize this, but even as we and the Jews, having our roots in Judaism and them simply just being unsaved in Judaism today to be saved later when the Lord pours out his Spirit again, we believe in the Messiah. We believe in the coming Messiah. But you may not realize this, in Islam, there's a Messiah as well. How many of you knew that? They have a Messiah in Islam. He's called the Mahdi. And they believe that the Mahdi is going to be a world leader and exert world control, even as the Jews believe that, of course, the Messiah is going to be a world leader and exert world control. And my problem has always been, how in the world are both of them going to be satisfied? I can't imagine a Jew accepting someone who's Arab as their Messiah. That it would need to be Jewish. And I can't imagine somebody, obviously, in Islam accepting a Jew. You know how they feel about the Jews. So the bottom line is there's an animosity and there's a division there. How would one accept the other? And so as I began to study this and look at this, it became extremely intriguing to me, some of the things that I discovered. Now, let me say, first of all, that many people believe that the Antichrist, again, will be Jewish. And I believe that as well, because, again, the Jews, he'd need to be Jewish for the Jews to receive him. And his mother being Jewish, at least. So he has that Jewish line and that Jewish blood. That's how they differentiate that. But then how is this other world leader going to come on the scene? That's going to be, or how are the Islam going to accept this world leader? And a lot of people have often said, well, it has to be a worldwide religious leader. And the only worldwide religious leader that we know of in the world today is who? Pretty much the Pope, as far as a worldwide religious leader. So most commentaries, when you read them, most scholars believe that the false prophet will be raised up and one day be a future Pope. And that might be the case. We'll see later on in Revelation, there's some things that make it appear that very well could be the case. However, we don't know for sure who he is. And I'm not saying that I know who it is or who it's going to be, but it struck me because in my study, I began to say, all right, what do they believe about the Mahdi? Tell me something they believe about the Mahdi. And it's amazing. Many of the things that we know to be true about Jesus Christ, Islam believes about their Mahdi. Now, some of them are very, very different. They believe that Jesus Christ will be subservient to him and all these different things. But as I listed some of these sayings, listen what they believe about their Mahdi, the striking similarities to these guys in the last days. Number one, they believe that the Mahdi has already come once and is coming again. Did you know that? They believe that he was here, and they said that he descended down into a well. And when the time is right, he's going to reappear back on the earth. They believe that the entire world will look to him and revere him as from God and as a man with the Spirit of God. They believe he will have supernatural powers that will astound the world. Remember one of his powers? Calling down lightning from heaven. The Bible says the false prophet will be able to call down lightning from heaven. Interestingly, they also believe that he will have power for 7 years, a 7-year period. Isn't that interesting? Knowing in the last days, the Antichrist, the false prophet, will make an agreement with Israel and the Palestinians in Israel. And for 7 years, they will rule and reign together. But the last thing that really got my attention, I was reading down this list of things of the Mahdi. It jumped out like a ton of bricks. And I remembered this and heard it from the past. But it didn't hit me until I was reading Revelation. And it said the Antichrist will come out of the sea of peoples that is represented by the sea. And the false prophet will come out of the earth. The last thing they believe is that same well that the Mahdi went down into, he will come up out of the earth, out of that well in the last days to rule and reign on this earth for 7 years. Isn't that interesting? Now, does that mean that it's not something to do with the Catholic Church? I don't know. Does that mean that it's the Mahdi or that if the false prophet's going to be the one they believe the Mahdi? I don't know, but here's what it does. If that is what it is, this is just, no one knows, so we're kind of having fun with it. Here's what we do know. There's going to be the Antichrist, this world leader, and there's going to be a false prophet pointing to him. We know that. Everybody got me? Now, the rest of it is just kind of like, wow, what's going on here? Because the Bible says in the last days, God will reveal more prophetic knowledge to his people. Daniel says that. Daniel says in the last days, you will understand prophecy better because God will reveal more. Now, I don't know if this is the scenario that's what's going to play out. But if this is the scenario, both sides are going to be happy. And it's a way that both could be resolved in this. What do I mean? The Jews would have their Antichrist. By the way, the Antichrist is going to be predominantly a political leader with a spiritual bent. The false prophet is going to be predominantly a spiritual leader with a political bent. You see the difference? The Jews, guess who they're looking for today? They're not looking for a spiritual Messiah. Ask them. They're looking for a political world leader who will take them to the promise of the nation that God gave them back to Abraham. Someone that will take over the world and give them their prominent place. Yes, there's a spiritual element, but predominantly political. That is exactly what the Bible says the Antichrist will be. He will be a predominantly political figure with that slant again toward the spiritual, uniting the whole world and ruling the world. What about the false prophet? Well, Islam, they believe that their Messiah is going to be predominantly spiritual. He's going to be this world spiritual leader that's going to have politics involved as he gives the world over to Islam. And I don't know, again, what the actual result of this is going to be, but I know that if those two guys showed up, it may be that the Jews accept the Antichrist as their Messiah, and that those in Islam accept the Mahdi, or this false prophet, as their Mahdi. And the two work together for this world peace for 3.5 years until finally the great tribulation, and God begins to pour out his spirit. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. We do know, again, the Antichrist. We know the false prophet. I wanted to share that with you because that was something this week in my studies that blew me away. I've never thought of that. I've never made the connection. It may not be accurate, but it is very, very interesting at the least. So keep your eye on this. And this gets even more intense. By the way, the Bible says in just a moment, we're going to get to the point where it says the false prophet is going to set up this image. And everyone who doesn't bow to the image, what's he going to do to them? It doesn't tell us in this passage, but in other places in Scripture. Does anybody remember? It says for those who won't bow to the image, he's going to be given power to kill them. And do you remember the way he's going to kill them? He's going to behead them. Do you know of a certain religion that leans toward beheading? Again, I don't know. I can't say this is what that is. But I find this extremely intriguing and something that I'm kind of putting back in that little folder in the back of my small brain that says until further notice, you know. And then whenever the Rolodex decides to flip, it'll flip, you know. Sometimes it just sits there and looks at me. But anyway, I'm going to keep it back there. And I find this extremely interesting. But either way, let's get back to what we do know. And that is, we know that this false prophet will be there. And notice what it says about him. He's going to look like a lamb, but he's going to speak like a dragon. Ring any bells? The classic image, guys, of the wolf in sheep's clothing. This guy's going to look like a world lover of God, a man of peace, a man of love, a man of spirituality, a man who's uniting the world in this one world religion while the Antichrist is uniting the world in one world politically. And this guy's going to look really good. He's going to sound really good. But notice he's going to speak like a dragon. Who is the dragon in Scripture? Guys, this is Satan himself. He's going to be speaking for Satan. The voice of Satan speaking to the earth and speaking to mankind. By the way, which brings up a point we have to understand. It doesn't matter how good somebody looks, okay? It doesn't matter how well they speak. It doesn't matter how good of a teacher they are. How are we to know whether or not they're the real or the fake? The Word of God. And guys, we're going to need to have this as our standard more and more as we head into the last days. You have got to stand on the Bible and run to the Word of God, not just what people say and what they look like. There's a lot of people who look really, really spiritual. They wear the right clothes. They get behind pulpits. They get on TV. They smile a lot. They say the right things. But when you line up what they're saying with the Word of God, they're false prophets. And the only way we're going to know a false prophet is to know the Word of God. Satan is not dumb. And the Bible says that Satan's servants appear as messengers of light. Grab that. How do Satan's servants appear? As messengers of light. He's not going to show up, you know, looking all grotesque and, you know, doing this kind of demonic thing. He knows he'd freak everybody out. And that is why we have to know the Word. And by the way, that is why we have to, not just because they're on Christian TV or Christian radio or standing behind a pulpit at Calvary Chapel, does not mean they're of God. Is everybody with me, flock? We've got to know this. And you've got to be able to run to the Word and say, what's the guy saying? What's the fruit in his life? Is it lining up with the Word of God? Because it's going to get worse and worse. The Bible says in the last days that there'll be more false prophets, more false teaching, more deception, until it culminates in this one guy that the whole world's going to just be enamored with. They're going to think that he's amazing spiritually, while they think that the Antichrist is amazing politically, and both of them intermingling in those two things as well. But we need to understand this. So he's going to look like a lamb. He's going to speak like a dragon. Not what they say, but what they do is how we have to judge them. And notice he exercises, verse 12, all the authority of the first beast in his presence. So they're going to be together. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, that is the world leader Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. In other words, hey, this is the guy that's ruling the world. He died. He resurrected. This is God in human form. And I'm backing it up in authority. I'm showing you. I'm pointing to him. Even as, again, the Holy Spirit points to Christ, this false prophet will be pointing to the Antichrist or the instead of Christ. And this guy's going to be, you don't believe me? Watch this. Calling down lightning from heaven. This is going to be an amazing duo. It's going to cause people to believe in this false world leader as well as the false prophet. Notice what it says, verse 13. And this is why I warned you, we can't look to signs and wonders or miracles as to someone being legitimate. Look at verse 13. He performs great signs. There it is. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven to the earth in the sight of men. Guys, this is amazing. Now, how in the world could a man call down lightning? Elijah did it. Remember Elijah with the prophets of Baal? He called down lightning and lightning hit. Fire came from heaven and burned up the offering. And then later on, when Ahab was trying to arrest Elijah, he sent all these guys after him, three different troops of 50, remember, coming to arrest Elijah. Elijah's sitting up on the hill and they said, man of God, come down. The king wants to see you. He said, if I'm a man of God, you know, let lightning come down and boom, and it does. And there's this just big black place there on the desert. Think about that. All the equipment laying around. Then the next 50 come. You know, they saw these bodies and the black spot and all this. And they're like, man of God, you know, the king said, come down. If I'm a man of God, then you be consumed as well. Boom. I mean, they're done. Finally, the third group comes up and the guy's smart. He sees these two big black spots on the desert and goes, please, you know, have mercy on me. You know, don't wipe me out. Come on, you know. And so God speaks to Elijah and says, go. Here's my point. God has allowed that power for man to have. Satan has limited power. He'll be able to give that power to this false prophet. And as this man calls down lightning, guys, listen, I'm telling you, I know we said this, but if the world sees somebody call down lightning, how many people believe the world would believe this guy today? I mean, a lot of these false prophets, David Koresh, Jim Jones, go down the list of these false prophets, even like all these different ones, you know, that had even these, they even had visions like Joseph Smith, you know, the vision, you know, that started Mormonism and all this. But the bottom line is, guys, they didn't have this kind of power. Joseph Smith never called down lightning. Jim Jones never called down lightning. David Koresh never called down lightning. this is going to be a person that's going to catch the world's attention, and he has to have this kind of power for the whole world to follow him and for him to be able to point the entire world to this Antichrist who's going to be doing this. Now, as I said, guys, just because there's power, it doesn't mean that it's God's power. And be careful of this, because in the last days, you're going to see an increase in this deceptive power. And I think we see this increase now in this new infatuation with psychics and paranormal and all this kind of stuff. Now, it's always been around. But here's the real kicker. This is where Satan gets you. Let me ask you a question. Look, if you go to the jungle and you've been to a tribe that has never seen a flashlight, you turn it on, they're going to think you have some strange power. All Satan has to do is use a little bit of his supernatural power, and he can deceive the masses. And this is where he gets us. Is some of that psychic and paranormal stuff legitimate? I mean, is some of it really happen? The answer is yes. It's a trick question. Some of it does really happen, but it's not God's power. It's satanic power. And when people see something really happen, whether it's God's power or satanic power, it draws people in. Guys, we need to be aware of this. Don't be drawn in because something seems to have power. Be drawn in because it lines up with the Word of God. And so there's going to be more deception in this whole psychic stuff and the paranormal stuff. And I think that's why you're seeing an increase in all UFO stuff and all that. I believe it's all demonic deception in the last days, guys. And the enemy, look, flashlight, shine it back and forth from, you know, on the earth from heaven. Ooh, they're little creatures from other planets. Just like the natives out in the jungle. Oh, he's a god, he's a god. No, he's got a surefire flashlight. We have to be aware of these things, guys. We have to understand from the Word of God what it says. And so, notice here verse 14, it says, "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live." Now again, the one who died and resurrected supposedly, this Antichrist, this world leader, the false prophet is going to say, hey, worship him and build an image to him. And the Bible says that they're going to actually build this image and put this image in the third temple. It tells us in another place in Scripture, he's going to be putting this in the third temple, setting it up in the temple. And the world's going to be bowing down and worshiping this man and this image from this temple. And now we come to this place in Scripture where we remember Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, "When you see the abomination of desolation," or that causes desolation, "flee to the mountains." And we talked about that being when the Jews see the Antichrist stand up and say that he's God in the temple, run down to Petra. We talked about that already. But why is it an abomination that causes desolation? Guys, when they set this image up and the Antichrist says, "I am God," that is an abomination to God. And why is it desolation? Because the Bible says right after that, the Antichrist is going to unleash a brutality against the Jews that has never been seen in world history. He's going to start murdering them wholesale, wiping out the Jews like never before. It will be an abomination that causes the desolation of the Jews, and then we'll see the desolation of God's judgment then ensue on the earth, and we'll see this whole last things that the Bible says will happen the last 3.5 years begin to fall into place. But notice what else it says about this image. This is some amazing image. Notice what it says. Verse 15, this false prophet, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, so he'll be breathing and speaking, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now again, there's this false prophet putting to death those who won't bow down to this image. But there's several things I want to point out about this, guys. Now I've thought about, you know, setting up some image and making it one of those kind of Robotron things or whatever they're called. You know, Disney World, you know, when Abe Lincoln comes out and, "Hi there, my name's Abe Lincoln," you know, and they turn and they do all this. But I'm thinking, the world wouldn't follow that. I mean, it works at Disney World. But what happens when the Antichrist is given a message and he just kind of starts bending over, you know, and stops? Like, whoa, our God died. I don't see that as happening, but somehow this image is going to have life to it. Now, I don't know what that's going to be, but I will tell you something really cool. The technology is in place. You know, back in the election, the last election, the presidential election, I was watching CNN, and I've shared some of this with some of you guys already. But I'm watching CNN, and all of a sudden this person appeared on the set with everybody there at CNN and was talking to them and doing an interview with them back and forth, but this person was not really there. And they let everybody know this. Oh, actually, so-and-so is not really here. This is a hologram image of him. He's somewhere else, and we're beaming his image here on the CNN set so we can do an interview with him right here, but we can also hear what's going on in so-and-so and so-and-so. And a light went on. That doesn't happen for me often. But a light went on. And I thought, you know what? This doesn't mean that's what it is. But guys, note this. If this image is set up and everyone has to worship this image, the Antichrist is going to be traveling all over the world, isn't he? Whenever he has messages for the world, how awesome it would be for him to be able to broadcast those messages declaring himself to be God from the third temple by hologram on some type of image. Maybe the image is there and the face is blank and suddenly there's this live face of the Antichrist. Hello there, I want to share with you what's happening now around the world, whatever the case might be. I'm not trying to get too sci-fi on you. But whatever this thing is, I mean, it's going to be better than the iPhone 4S, I can tell you that. And a lot of you guys are real impressed with that. Some of you are still going, what's that? What's an iPhone? Something you poke yourself with? Or what is? Anyway, there's different levels of technology appreciation in the room, right? But the bottom line is, guys, the technology is there to do amazing things. And I don't think that the world's going to be amazed because a statue can speak. I think the Antichrist is going to be addressing the world somehow from that statue. And whether it'll be a hologram or whether whatever it'll be this image that is set up. And it'll be breathing, it'll be speaking, there'll be the technology in place to do that. Just amazing here. Again, if you don't worship, if you don't fall down to the image, you'll be put to death. Does this ring any bells? Guys, remember back with Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar builds the image. And again, what a picture this is. I believe that is a picture of what's going to be happening to the Jews and the Jewish nation in the last days. I believe it's a picture of that. And notice what happened. Remember, he said, bow down to the image. They said, we won't bow down. And when they wouldn't bow down to the image, he threw them into the burning fiery furnace. And then when they got into the fiery furnace, what happened? He looked in there and noticed that one like the Son of God was among them. Once they were thrown into the furnace, they saw the Son of God. And then when they came out of the fire, their ropes were burned off. Guys, listen, when he sets that image up and goes to the Jews and says, bow down, those that are going to be running down to Petra are going to realize this guy's not our real Messiah. We're not going to bow down. And the fiery furnace of persecution is going to come upon the Jewish nation and the world as the Antichrist comes upon them. They're going to flee down. Those that are rescued will flee down to Petra. And it says their eyes will be opened and they will see the Son of God. And there'll be 144,000 that are saved. We'll be looking at that next week. I believe that's a whole picture that God is giving us with Nebuchadnezzar and the image and the Jews. And when they're thrown into the fiery furnace, the ropes of religion will be burned off. The ropes of deception in Judaism, the blinded eyes that kept them from seeing the Son of God and realizing you're right here with us. You really were the Messiah. You have saved us. We'll rescue them from not bowing down to this image. And so the whole picture begins to unfold when you realize that God shows us these things in picture and in reality of what's going to happen. And so, again, the Jews, again, we'll get to that next week. Their eyes are going to be open when the fiery trial hits, and God's going to supernaturally preserve them, even as he preserved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so notice in verse 16, he says, he, that is the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand of their foreheads. Now, guys, just a few years ago, we'd have thought, what are you talking about? How is a mark on the right hand of the forehead? And I used to think when the barcode first came out, that's it, they'll scan us, you know, just... you know, that's a $4.99. Come on, I'm worth more than that, you know, whatever. And you're going to get scanned, you know. I don't think, listen, there may be something connected to the barcode technology, but it has to be more than barcode because this Antichrist is going to keep up with everyone around the globe. Now enter computer technology. We now have microchips. There's a company called Verichip down in Florida that is currently putting chips in people for identification. The Israeli army just contacted them, and they're planning on putting chips in some of their military so that they can keep up with all their military and all their records and all this kind of stuff. It's happening right now. Now, is that the mark of the beast? No, because that's going to be instituted by the Antichrist. But even as the Bible predicted this technology would be in place, it is happening. And it's so ingenious because you can put all of your medical information in it. At the same time, he can keep up with everybody around the world where they are. Ooh, that's creepy. I don't want anybody to keep up with me where I am. Then you better throw your smartphone away because they're already tracking you by GPS. You better get rid of your OnStar. They're already tracking by that. Now it's just going to shift to something more sophisticated that will track everyone, and that'll be this mark. And you're going to be able to know where everyone is, what everyone's doing, what's in their bank account, what's not in their bank account, what their medical records are, if they collapse. I mean, there's it's really very ingenious in many ways. You lose your kids. Let's say you're in their room looking for them, right? And you can't find them because of all the piled up stuff. You can turn your GPS on and find your kid. He's under the clothes, behind the bed, found him, right? Now, I'm being silly about that, but you really could if they get lost in the mall or lost anywhere, whatever the case. So the idea is ingenious. And the world's going to say, yes, what a great idea. We'll take the mark. And he says here, you're going to take this mark, or those that are left behind, hopefully you won't. receive a mark either on the right hand or the forehead. And by the way, this is what blows me away. From Verichip and these companies, there's a new kind of tattoo mark that just came out recently. And I think you can take them off, but they affix to your skin. I saw one just recently. You can put them on your hand or on your forehead. Holds all your information, personal information, and there are people who are experimenting with wearing those. But what I've noticed about them is guess where they're putting them all? They're putting them on the hand and the forehead. They're putting them on the head and the hand. So even it's already kind of underway where it's going to be. And I don't know why they're choosing those. But again, this is exactly what the Bible predicted. It was going to happen, and it is happening. And notice this mark here is going to have a numeric value. Let's look at verse 17. He says, he causes everyone to take it on the right hand or the forehead, and no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So you can't even buy or sell unless you have this mark. You can't go to the grocery store and get anything. You either get it or you die. And so it's going to be a do or die for everybody. It's going to be commanded by the world leader. And notice this numeric value to it. It says it's the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Look at verse 18. Let him who is understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, almost everybody in this room knows what that means, right? You may not know exactly what it means, but you knew it was something bad, right? 666 is not good. That means bad. But I find it interesting. In Scripture, the number 6 is the number of man. And I believe by this number, there's going to be a numeric value that's attributed to this man's name. And it's going to come out to 666, which is interesting because in the Hebrew, every Hebrew letter has a number. Did you know that? And you can actually get certain names that spell 666. That's why some people believed, you know, they didn't understand the Scripture. And they believed that at one time they were saying Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist because his name came out to that numeric value. Then they said Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist because his name came out to that numeric value. Listen, we're not going to know this guy's until we're out of here. That's not going to be even revealed to us. But what's interesting about this whole 666 and the number of man, 7 is the number of completion. 8 is the number of Christ and new beginnings. And it's almost like the Lord is saying, listen, this is not going to be a God. This is going to be a man. And it's going to be this unholy trinity, 666. This is a work of man. It's a work of Satan that is lesser than God. And it's going to be, you're going to know who he is by recognizing his works, what he's teaching, what he's saying, and even by this numeric number on his name. So again, what's it going to be? How will we know? Listen, this isn't for you guys. You know, as we wrap this up today, realize this. This is not for you. If you know Christ, you're going to be out of here. The Bible says in Thessalonians, we'll be raptured out of here before he's even revealed. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ, this is going to come in real handy. Because when we're gone, you're going to see this world leader come on the scene and you're going to be able to make sure, is this really the one? He's a world leader, but he's really, then get the numeric value of his name. You're going to know if he's the real one or not. Now, I hope that you're not here. I say that, you know, in jest, because I don't want you to be here. But guys, as we finish this today, that brings up two things I want to drive into our heart. Number one, let's remember this. In the last days, and even now, before we get to the very last days, which I think we're in already, but in the last days, there's going to be greater and greater deception. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the world is being primed for these guys. You're going to see more false spiritual leaders come on the scene. You're going to see real paranormal, powerful events take place, but they're not of God. Be prepared for that. Be ready. Have your Bible in one hand and be on your knees, you know, as you pray through it. But beyond that, the second thing I want to leave us with is this, guys, and that is we need to make sure that, yes, we know about the false prophet and we know about the false Messiah, but we need to make sure that we know the true Messiah and the true Holy Spirit. And that's the one that we need to be concerned about today. Guys, the question is, do you know Jesus Christ? Yeah, we read about all these things, and yes, it's fascinating what's going to be happening, and we see the world falling into place exactly as God said it would fall into place. But the bottom line is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to be here for that. Unless it's after the time that we die, and I wouldn't be willing to take that chance, not with what we see going on around the world. Here's the question. Do you know Christ? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? All right, Mark, I don't think I have. Well, then here's what you do. Listen, the Bible simply says this. Jesus died for you on the cross. He rose again the third day, and if you believe in him, the Bible says you'll be saved. If that's you this morning, and you say, look, I don't know what I think about all this Revelation stuff, but I see some of this one world government forming like you're talking about. I see some of this one world religion. I see the coexist bumper stickers with all the different religious symbols on it. I see it happening, Pastor Mark, just like the Bible says it would happen. I'm watching all this stuff. I'm watching the world economy suddenly see a need to come together because the Bible says there'll be a one world economy because of all the troubles that are going. I see all these things happening. But what I don't know is I don't know that I know Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because, guys, it's great to learn about the false prophet and the false Christ, but it's awesome to know the real Jesus and to let the Holy Spirit lead your life. And that only comes by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. If you're ready to do that this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this morning, and I want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for what you've been revealing to us and what you've shown us about this instead of Christ, this Antichrist, this false world leader who will come on the scene, Lord, and run the world politically. And now today, Lord, we see this false world leader who will come on the scene and run the world spiritually. And we see that, Lord, and we see the world being primed for that. We know that your word says it's going to happen, and we're watching it take place. But Lord, this morning, there's some that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, they know these things. They may be even learning the Bible, but they don't know you. And Father, I just pray if there's anyone in this room right now who doesn't know you, that you'd move their hearts, God. You'd stir their hearts and bring them to a place to where they would receive you as their Lord and Savior. And guys, listen, if that's you, if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know Christ, he's calling your name this morning. And not the false spirit, but the true Spirit of God. The true Holy Spirit is calling you. And he's saying, this is my son. Look to him. He died on the cross. This is the son of the Father. He gave his blood. He gave his life for you. And if you will simply ask forgiveness of your sin, he will forgive you. He will forgive your sin, and you can enter the kingdom of God and be with me forever. Listen, if that's you this morning, I want to make an appeal to you right now. Don't put it off any longer. Don't put it off. The Lord's calling your name this morning. And if you want to do that, I want you to pray this prayer, but I want you to pray it from your heart and not just from your lips. Pray this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Pray that prayer. Don't hold back. And Lord, I believe that you died for me on the cross for my sins. And now, Lord, because of that, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me. And I ask that you would come into my heart and that you'd be my Lord and that you'd be my Savior. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Father, I also ask now that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ask him now to fill you. Ask him to pour his Spirit out on you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might walk in boldness and power in these days in which we live and that I might serve you. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for saving me and for what you've done for me. And Father, now I pray for us as a whole, as a body. Lord, we see what your word says is coming in the last days, and we're watching it happen before our very eyes. Lord, we need your power. We need to stay on track, keeping our eyes on the word of God. And we need your power, God, helping us to stand and to continue to stand in the days in which we live. We know the opposition is going to be more and more. Help us to stand, God. Give us boldness and courage. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your joy. And thank you, God, for the work that you've done in our hearts this morning. We give you all praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.